tonight. They have to submit those arguments. The Oregonian, Oregon Live, reached out to the U.S. Department of Defense, the Oregon Military Department, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, U.S. So they reached out to all these folks. What troops on the ground might look like, but they didn't answer specific questions, provide general statements, or in the case of local and state officials, said they had been left in the dark. So we have to wrap this up now, but thank you so much for calling in, and I will be back in a couple weeks, but I hope that we'll see what happens in the next few weeks, and stay safe out there, and have a hope for the best. Thank you. This is Jacqueline Keeler, Wednesday Talk Radio.
If you're seeking respect and attention, if you're in need of a gig that'll help you feel big, come with me and put some folks in detention. Just last week was kind of rough. I put a kid in cuffs. I zip-tied a woman to a van. We can sneak around town hunting working folks down. I hear they got a great...
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
Minorities join ICE. See, I failed the academy. The cops weren't having me. The army didn't sound that fun. So I found me a paramilitary operation that was keen to hand me a gun. I got picked on.
You are tuned into listener supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Tune into Talking Earth, a show dedicated to showcasing our local poetry scene and poetry and spoken word from around all cultures and around the world. Join hosts Stan Raphael and Michael Van Cleek on the second and third Monday of every month from 10 to 11 p.m. You can also listen to the programs anytime at kboo.fm/program/talking-earth. Thank you for joining us for our time of poetry at KBOO.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week.
Humankind is based on the creative efforts of the people who came before us and will continue to be so, right? So we really do have to continue to nurture creativity, whether it's in the arts or writing or science.
I'm Suki Wessling of The Babblery, where we try to make sense of our modern Tower of Babel. Today on Sprouts, we approach creativity from two directions.
I think we have to look at what does the experience of making art and writing give us? What do we get from that encounter? I do see it as an encounter. It's an encounter with ourselves, but it's also an encounter with what Jung called the collective unconscious.
Patrice Vecchione is a writer, artist, and teacher who has worked with children and adults, helping them learn to stoke their curiosity and creativity through poetry and visual arts.
I am interested in all things having to do with learning and development and children's well-being. I try to live in ways wherein I encourage people's creativity and motivation and understanding of the importance of living every day as if it's the most important thing you can do to learn and engage with others and to find different ways of enjoying all that we have around us.
Joanne Foster started as a teacher who became fascinated by creativity, what it is, and how we can develop more of it. She researches and writes books on creativity in education. I interviewed Joanne and Patrice separately, and I love how their perspectives came from two different directions, but arrive in the creative middle. So let's start with the obvious. What is creativity?
People have this sense of confusion that creativity is just something that barrels out of you, or is ignited in some mysterious way. I like to think of creativity as a superpower, as a way of taking hold of the possibility to see things, to meet challenges, to resolve issues in ways that we might not have thought of before. So creativity is actually enabling. It enables new pathways, it enables comfort, it sparks excitement and joy and wonder and anticipation.
That was Joanne, who has developed practical tools for the classroom to ignite children's creativity. But Patrice, the artist, sees it differently.
Joanne Foster, she said, people think of creativity as mysterious, but it's not. I do find it mysterious. And I like that I find it mysterious. I agree. She also says that creativity is a superpower, a way of taking hold of the possibility to see things we might not have thought of before. Yes, absolutely. That I completely agree. That is what creativity is. But to me, there's a quality about it that is beyond rational understanding. It, for me, is it's a spiritual thing. It connects me to the earth, connects me to other, when I'm teaching, to other people. It is the impulse to create unexpected change. I think that I've never thought that before. I've never, certainly never said it. But I think that is what it is, the impulse to make unexpected change, change that you couldn't have foreseen from the outside. So for me, there's an inside and an outside.
And it leads to a greater sense of accomplishment, being able to think in fresh ways, building upon our intellect, enhancing our neural connections actually as well. If you think of your brain as millions and millions of pathways of sort of tangled vines going every which way, then think of having bursts of sparks and these are called synapses actually, absolutely everywhere. Flashing every millisecond, that's sort of creativity in action, and we can harness that, we can use that.
What Joanne is referring to here is that despite the popular conception of right-brained and left-brained thinking, creativity is not centered in one part of the brain. Scans of creative brains at work show that creativity is a combination of the problem-solving strength of the prefrontal cortex, the emotional strength of the limbic system, and the spatial orientation and visualization of abilities of the parietal and occipital lobes. In other words, just as Joanne said, a creative brain is firing in all directions.
Creativity is the opposite of boring. It's an energy, it's a force that exists, and we can dip into it or we can refrain from it. My experience of creativity grew exponentially after I met my husband. And we moved in together. And because I felt such a sense of being cared for, being cared about, being supported, it gave me rein to be daring. And that's another quality about creativity, is it's an experience of being daring, because you often put together two unlike things and you see what happens when they sit together in a poem, in a piece of art.
There are a lot of people who think wrongly that they aren't creative.
Creativity is always available if you want to use it. Just think of it sort of tucked in there in your pocket or inside your brain or wherever it is that you tuck your special moments, and think about how you can actualize it. So for a very young child, creativity would look very different than it would for an older person. And people express their creativity in different ways. It might be through gardening or through art or through writing poetry or through gymnastics or baking or making music or doing sculptures.
My favorite thing about writing, and in particular writing, making art too, is the element of surprise, which connects to the idea of coincidence. That when I sit down, no matter what I think I might be writing, it's never only that. Either it completely changes, or something else comes in that I couldn't have foreseen.
Highly creative people might not even know how they're doing it. They might think they're just following instinct. But Joanne's research shows that people who want to increase their creativity can consider two ways of looking at it.
Creativity involves stretching ourselves in new and imaginative ways. So we might want to do that convergently, that is, by narrowing possibilities and then focusing into something really specific. We may want to do it by thinking divergently, which means that you have lots of different ideas all sort of floating around there, and you have to wean out the ones that are most appealing to you or that you think have the most value with respect to extending your creativity. So you've got convergently, you've got divergently, and then you might want to think critically too when you're trying to be creative, because you want to at some point become more disciplined around your ideas and maybe analyze them and think further about them and figure out what to do with them to take them to the next level. And creativity develops step by step. Sometimes we have to master challenges along the way. We run into a roadblock or a distraction or something that takes us off track. And creativity requires effort. It means you have to sort of work at it. You have to put forth that effort in order for it to move forward. It's not something that necessarily just ignites, mm-hmm. although sometimes we do have spontaneous flashbulb type moments, but it also often occurs over time and with effort and requires us to really think it through and be patient.
One major way that people stifle their creativity is through risk aversion. From childhood, many of us are conditioned to avoid risk-taking, especially when taking a risk will separate us from the herd. The thing is, practicing your creativity literally does separate you from the non-creative herd. Let's hear Patrice and then Joanne talk about risk.
Foster says, creative ideas are often born when you're taking a risk, doing something outside of the norm. And I think that's extremely accurate and extremely important, that in the creative act, there is an element of stepping into unknown territory. And to me, that's part of why it feels mysterious, because I don't know. It's the risk. I don't know where I'm going. And that is a kind of fuel. You know, it's like you think of the adventurers, the people who climb mountains. You know, that's about as close to climbing a mountain as I'm ever going to get, is writing a poem. You know,
I love that idea about practicing your creativity. It means that you're stretching yourself. You're taking a risk. You're doing something outside the norm. And a lot of creative ideas are born that way simply because you break free of that rut, that same old way of doing. And you feel really good about it afterwards because you feel, hey, I've done something cool here. I've achieved something that maybe I hadn't anticipated doing.
Patrice points out that for today's teens, risk-taking has a whole different meaning than it used to have.
I was just in some high school classes yesterday, and the students there gave me great attention when I was reading poems and talking to them, and they wrote up a storm, but they refused to share. As much as creativity needs risk, creativity also needs safety. And when the students don't feel safe because they're concerned about social media implications and bullying, they will not share out loud, but when they let me see what they've written, the writing is strong.
What hobbles people's creativity?
Patrice has seen a huge change in her years of teaching in schools. Here she talks about a book of poems written by high school students. In one poem, the writer, a teen girl, says, "More often it is a tape measure hugging my waist rather than hands."
And so the pressure that teens are under right now, especially girls in relation to their bodies, is, and this girl, when she came to the reading, you know, I was curious what she was going to look like. And she was extremely slender, you know, and tall and beautiful. And, you know, I said to somebody after the reading, they said, "Well, why did she feel that way?" And I said, "All girls feel that way. All women feel that way until we get to the point where we don't give a damn."
There are many possible things that can hobble someone's creativity. It might be something that's external, like distractions. It might be something internal, like a lack of confidence or fatigue. Or it could have something to do with skills, not feeling that you're, you know, up to snuff, for example, you know, technology-based, or you don't have the information that you need. One thing that often, especially for kids or for adults too, is scrutiny. Nobody likes it when someone's sort of staring over their shoulders.
That's what the internal critic is all about. It's all about, we should all think the same. We should all fit into this box. And if you step out of that, you're not safe. Things are unpredictable. And that is where the best writing and the best art comes from. So with my students, you know, with kids, they'll write 5 poems over 4 or 5 weeks. And then I'll ask them to choose the one they like the best. And that's the one we'll work on. We'll take to another draft. 9 times out of 10, those students will choose the weakest piece of writing. It's the piece where they've taken the least amount of chance. They feel like they're coloring within the lines. And that is not what makes good literature or good art.
Another issue that often comes up with creative effort is impatience. People think, you know, I'm going to get started and it's going to come out and it's going to be beautiful and I'll be done in 15 minutes. Well, maybe 20 or maybe a half an hour. And then it takes longer and longer and longer. And sometimes they give it up because they're so impatient and they've come to a point where they think, I can't take this amount of time. I can't take this amount of effort.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Suki Wessling of the Babelry. I talk to women from all walks of life about the confusion of our modern Tower of Babel. We're speaking with Joanne Foster and Patrice Vecchione about creativity. We talked about what creativity is and what forces in our lives might stifle creativity. But here's the most important question. We all face barriers to practicing our creativity. So when we face a barrier, how do we get around it? Not surprisingly, creative people can offer a lot of creative solutions to get around blocks. Here's Joanne, whose book, Ignite Your Ideas, offers teachers and parents guidance on stoking creativity in children.
A lot of things take time. It took Edison how long to create a light bulb? I mean, really. We need to just be patient with ourselves and consider the experiences along the way rather than that final endpoint. And also finding sometimes if you just need to move or need music or you need something to sort of fuel you along the way as you do work more creatively. And pep talks can be helpful as well, pep talks from others or pep talks that you give to yourself.
Patrice has written inspiring books that focus on helping writers find and express their inner voices. In her book, Step Into Nature, for example, she offers writers ways to find their inspiration outside.
In all 3 of my nonfiction books, I address what I refer to as the internal critic. And for most people, for everybody, the critic isn't internal initially. Initially, the critic is external, and then it's internalized. And I encounter that with every age group. Well, except really young children. Kindergartners and first graders, for the most part, don't exhibit a sense of the internal critic. So when I got the contract in 1999 to write my book, Writing in the Spiritual Life, I got a check and I spent the money, and then I had to write the book. And I spent quite a bit of time in bed, unable to do anything, terrified because of the internal critic. So for me, that was given to me predominantly by my father and to some degree by my mother. So what I did when I finally got out of bed is I asked myself, well, who are you? Who is this critic? And I created a character. So then you can externalize what has been internalized so that then you gain power over that which is limiting your creativity.
Joanne really breaks down the barriers to creativity in her research.
Two other issues are complexity and simplicity. Sometimes things are just so complex that can be daunting. So finding the way to manage it, to find it, two things in chunks or manageable bits. And if something is too simplistic that, you know, well, this is not interesting to me because it's just not stimulating enough. It's too easy. I'm just going to tune myself out. Distractions can hobble creativity. We get started on doing something and then a million other things get in the way. So you veer off course or you lose your focus, and distractions come in all sizes. Like, they could be potato chips, they could be a doorbell, it could be whatever interrupts or derails creativity. So learning what distracts you and trying to manage those or eliminate them in some way and working on paying attention to those distractions.
If we think about back in the days of kingdoms, so it seems like we may be in a day of kingdoms now, but if we look back historically, there was the jester and there was the fool of the jester, and that person could say things to the king or queen that they would not accept coming from one of their advisors. And they could do that because they were the fool, they weren't taken seriously, but they had a quality of, they were outsiders. And I think that the creative person is in a lot of ways an outsider.
Little or no progress is another thing that can derail or hobble creativity. Sometimes it just takes one little thing that makes you feel wonderful as you proceed that can provide the momentum to keep you going. And perceived risk. If something is scary and you don't think that you want to undertake it, then that could mean that you're not going to be creative around it either. So, you know, learning to assess how important is it to me to hurdle that obstacle or get past that fear, what kind of guidance or assistance or strategies might come in handy if I want to be creative in this way. And you know, I mean, you don't want to do anything dangerous, but you do want to show that you can push yourself and extend.
Modern life itself presents new barriers to creativity that people in the past didn't have to deal with. When you talk to most people today, the first thing you hear is how busy they are. It might lead you to wonder, are we really so much busier than we used to be? Actually, yes, but not in the way you might think. In the past, being busy often meant being at work, having a full social life, or doing lots of volunteer work. But today we have the added overhead of an onslaught of information that constantly distracts us and fills our conscious thought with events beyond our control. Patrice talks about how she was so focused on world events at one point that she stopped all her creative work.
One thing that happened for me was the anxiety that I was living in for a few months. And I gave up my joy. And joy is a creative act. And if we succumb to despair, we are going to be unable to find solutions to problems. solving problems, whether they're mathematical problems or cultural or societal political problems, is a deeply creative act.
Joanne and Patrice say that as schools and teachers are pressured to conform more and more to standards, there's less room in the classroom for creativity. Here, Patrice recounts the change that she's seen in young children's access to imagination.
I was working with a second grade class, and I said, okay, come on, let's lie down on the asphalt and look up at the clouds. And this is something I have done with students for, I'd done it by then for 30 years. We lie down, we look up, and I ask the children, what do you see? And they look at each other like, I'm nutty. They roll their eyes. And finally, one kid is daring, and he says, Miss Patrice, we see the clouds. And I said, well, don't you see the man with the bouquet of balloons running ahead of the dragon? So the more that we rely on devices and less on ourselves and reading and art, it does diminish creativity. And so I have seen that over the years in young children.
Joanne points out that without the support of adults in their lives, children don't develop their creative urges as much.
I think there are a lot of ways in which parents and teachers can encourage children's creativity, and those translate into ways in which adults can encourage their own creativity. And that, mm-hmm. that has to do with having a desire, that choice that I mentioned before, having supportive others around you, someone who will give you that encouragement and tell you, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do those pushes for you.
Joanne and Patrice may come at the question of creativity from two sides, but where they intersect is in the joy of creativity and the conviction that if all of us pursued our creativity, even in times of stress, and maybe especially in times of stress, humanity would be all the better for it.
Get to know yourself and how to tune out the things that are causing you stress. Look for those outlets that maybe will enable you to feel more positive. Whatever it is that will help you find that way forward and build your own momentum and empower your creativity. Find a way through. Find the supports that you need in order to extend what matters in your life, what matters to you in your life or to your family. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
I think we have to look at what does the experience of making art and writing give us? What do we get from that encounter? I do see it as an encounter. And it's another way in which creativity to me is mysterious, because it's an encounter with ourselves, but it's also an encounter with what Jung called the collective unconscious. So something happens in the creative process, one of exploration, one of curiosity, one of unpredictability. Look, let me put it to you this way. When I was young, by the time I was 20, I had done almost every drug that was available. And when doing all of those drugs, I was always after the same thing. And I was after the experience of ecstasy. I was after the experience of feeling one with the universe and being beyond myself. Just like in that little bear story that many of us read to children, I realized I didn't need the fur hat, and I didn't need the mittens, and I didn't need the scarf. All I needed was myself and a pen and a piece of paper. So what happens for me when I create, whether it's with a needle and thread or a pen and paper, is I experience a level of joy and ecstasy that I have only experienced in the best sex and the best feeling in love and moments in nature. So I think that experience is the domain of everyone. And everyone has the potential to experience that sense of ecstasy through creative expression. Now, sometimes writing is hard. I mean, making art is terrifying. There's no doubt about it. you can encounter things in the creative process that are difficult to face, and it makes us nervous. It makes us want to turn away. Yes, that's some of it, but also the experience of going beyond what you know. I always tell students, you know more than you know you know. You know?
I do.
We do. We all do. Yes.
That's it for Sprouts. I'm Suki Wessling of The Babblery. You can find full episodes and show notes at babblery.com. Special thanks to Joanne Foster and Patrice Vecchione for sharing their creativity with us. The song Ragu is courtesy of Rose Azerti. The Babblery is produced with support from KSQD. That's KSQD Community Radio at ksqd.org. Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Suki Wessling in beautiful Santa Cruz, California. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.